James is kind of like getting off on this drama and on this story of Tom cheating because he jumps in and goes, Tom gets horny, wants to fuck her. She tells him, I'm on my period. We can't fuck. He tells her, I want you to go into the bathroom. I want you to prove to me that you're on your fucking period. So she did. And he said, fuck it. I still want to fuck you.
Which, by the way, if that's true, that is diabolical.
I am the devil, and don't you forget it.
You're a wild with a mustache.
I take Dutch comics very seriously.
No more in there.
I'm not sure what I've done to you, but I'll take a Pinot Grigio. The only thing I have holding me back is that I have self-respect and dignity.
Pumpcast.
What's up, you guys, and welcome back to the Pumpcast. I'm Maddie Drosbeck.
And I'm Meg Ruoco.
And good God, does it feel good to be in season 3, baby?
Oh, yeah.
You guys might have noticed that we did not discuss the results of the Pumpies in our last episode.
Correct.
That is because we filmed the season 2 reunion about 3 weeks before you saw it.
Yeah.
We were real ahead.
Yeah.
So we wanted to let the Pumpies run their true course through the end of the season before we came to you.
Yep.
With your pressing, hot off the press results.
Oh my God. And I'm just like foaming at the mouth to know.
No, literally when the episode came out where we released the link to the Pumpies, I was in Croatia and Ashley and I laid in bed and filled out our versions.
Perfect.
Right next to each other, talking through why we voted for who we voted for. And honestly, I was shocked to see that the audience and I were misaligned in a lot of the categories.
Yeah. I'm really excited to see what everybody said because I did this a while ago and I do not remember what my answers are, but I think I'll have like a gut feeling response to how people responded. Right. So we'll see.
Yeah. Before we get into the Pumpies of it all, though, I did want to talk about something that I think is so funny, which is that it's becoming increasingly clear to me that perhaps the Pumpers' first introduction to the word boof is through us.
So I'm really glad you brought this up.
I fear some of you have never heard the word boof before. And that's okay. Listen, language evolves. Language is always evolving.
Language
in this
is
corner
always
of the
changing. We are coming up with new turns of phrase
totally
every day.
Every day
here.
We are cooking.
Yes.
And we may have changed the meaning of the word boof.
Yep.
In our corner of the internet.
Yes.
That's okay.
In our corner of the internet, the definition of boof means to transition from one place to another.
It's like a teleportation sound effect.
Yes.
We're done talking about that. All right, so boof, we're somewhere else now.
Mm-hmm. In other parts of the world, boof does mean to stick a bag of drugs up your ass.
So for all of you asking us to put the word boof on a hat, we're actually doing you a monumental kindness by not doing that.
Really big kindness. And you know what? I'm thinking about it now. I actually don't even know if it needs to be in a bag, these drugs.
I think you just
put drugs up your ass.
You're just boofing it. You're putting it in your butt.
Yeah, you're putting drugs in your butt.
Yeah. And like, I guess you could kind of boof anything.
Yeah.
Like, I've definitely talked about how I think Joey Chestnut boofs hot dogs because that guy loves those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think that there are ways to boof in various beautiful capacities.
Totally. And now we've added another definition of boof to the Pumpcast dictionary, but to wear a hat around the world that says boof, I fear other people would not be on your vibe.
Because here's the thing. We know that we're the center of the universe.
Totally.
We know that
totally.
The Pumpcast and the Pumpers are the center of the universe and that it's our world and everybody is just living in it. That said, we're still a growing community.
Totally.
Not everybody knows kind of who we are or what's going on over here. So yeah, I do think that if we were to make merch that said so boof, people would be really confused about what's going on with you.
What your hobbies are.
And like hey, don't wear that shirt to work, right? You know, like,
I don't want to get anyone fired.
Don't wear that shirt to like a family dinner.
Right.
We can just keep kind of what we got going on now.
There's a reason why, because we understand the importance of Boof in this community, right? We get it. That's why we put on the hats and shirts Pumpcast, All Right So Boof since 2026. Mm-hmm. Gives a little bit more context into what the shirt is. Mm-hmm. It's about the Pumpcast, not about the boofing.
Right. It's about the Pumpcast, not about the boofing.
And I know there's going to be one person that comments like, no, I did know what the word boof meant. I wanted the hat.
I want it.
Okay.
You know what I am still down to make, though, is the shirt from when they go to Mexico that says Sluts Party with Me.
Sluts Party with Me. No, we actually should make that.
I would make that shirt.
That would be awesome.
100%. Because sluts do party with me.
It's so true. Sluts do party with us. Over here.
Yeah. That's the only way to freaking do it. It's important to address that. Now that we have that out of the way, it's important to also address a scandal currently happening.
Oh, yeah.
That people want us to talk about. That people probably, we released an episode today. We released a season 2 reunion. And people likely will be like, hey, why didn't you guys talk about the Tom Sandoval of it all? Once again, it's because we recorded it 3 weeks ago. we didn't know that this was happening.
Totally.
I didn't know this was happening.
I didn't know this was happening. I'm crying now.
But now we know. For those who may have missed it, Tom Sandoval has recently been in the news for, originally, it was that he had filed a lawsuit against his girlfriend, his current girlfriend, and his current girlfriend's father for, like, emotional abuse or something. Then, it pretty quickly came out that Tom Sandoval is on camera pushing said girlfriend's father into a fire pit.
That's on. Fire pit with fire in it.
Yeah.
Classic Sandy.
That's a classic T Sandy move.
He loves forgetting that when there are cameras around, mm-hmm. there is evidence of what he's done.
Yep.
This is never quite stuck in his head.
And it's amazing for someone who so desperately wants to be on camera all
right,
the time.
Right.
Like, remember that they're there. This is right. what you chose. You chose this.
And it's like in the video, you should definitely go watch the video because yeah. there is audio to it. And yep. he and the father are fighting about something. It's kind of indistinguishable what it is. But what you do hear is that when things start ramping up, it's because he thinks that his girlfriend is recording him on mm-hmm. her phone. And he starts getting in her face like, are you recording me? Are you recording me? And this is when like her dad steps in and sort of goes towards him a little bit. And mm-hmm. Tom fully pushes him into a fire.
Yep.
Which is crazy.
And then doesn't seem to have any sort of remorse for that in the immediate aftermath.
No.
He just walks back inside and closes the door.
Yeah. Pretty insane.
So in case anyone was wondering, like, hey, has Tom Sandoval changed
no.
in the past 3 to 4 years? No. The yeah. answer is no.
The answer is no.
I just can't believe we actually saw that girlfriend in person at
I know.
Tom Sandoval's trivia night.
My God.
She was there.
She was there being held hostage.
Oh, my God. All she wanted to do was go to the Outlander cast party.
There's no way that she watched him up on that trivia stage and thought that it was cool. Like, I just don't believe it.
Imagine watching your boyfriend do that.
But my thing is, like, why was Tom Sandoval the one to file this loss? Like, did he seriously forget that there was footage?
Well, this is yeah. I'm like, was he trying to get ahead of the news?
But it's like, if that was true, the like photos, because there's some photos of his head that were made public that
yes.
allegedly show his injuries. They don't show much, to
no.
be honest with you. But if he's posting those photos mm-hmm. showing like minor bruising as being evidence to his case, knowing that there is video footage about to come out where he pushes someone into a fire. Like, I just don't understand how he would think that that would work to get ahead of it. If anything, it drew more attention to it.
Well, yeah. Like, imagine being like the defendant's lawyer. It must
right.
be so awesome because you're like, oh, really? You claim that you were abused? Okay, here's video evidence of you verbally and physically abusing the people that you claim abused you.
Yeah.
Imagine if the Vanderpump cast was this litigious back in like 2012. There would be a new lawsuit every week.
Literally every episode.
Yes.
They would have to make a second show just to cover like the court cases of Vanderpump Rules.
It's jury duty, but only for Vanderpump.
No, that's really good.
Oh, what I would give.
I actually don't believe that we should allow Tom Sandoval to like take up space in the United States courts.
No.
Just bring him to us.
Yeah.
We'll deal with his matters.
He's guilty until proven innocent.
You send him over here and we'll take care of this case.
We'll put him in a chair. Okay. We'll kind of decide his fate for
you
him.
You put Meg and I in like the fucking judge chair.
With the wigs?
Yeah. And we'll hire a bunch of you guys to come in as the jurors.
Yeah. Pumpers are jurors.
It'll be all recorded for entertainment. Tom Sandoval would love this.
Honestly, I think he'd be in on this. To televise the lawsuit that he's put, because he also is so delusional that he thinks he would win.
Yeah.
He'd be like, yeah, no problem.
God, he's awesome.
I'm going to crush this.
Oh, he's giving us something to talk about, Tommy boy.
Sandy.
Oh, my God.
The Sandman.
This crazy guy.
Well, should we get into the results of the Pumpies?
Let's get into these results.
Welcome to the second annual Pumpies Awards. Ooh. No one's winning anything, but
the Pumpies Awards for season 2.
Mm-hmm.
Recap of the century.
Woo!
The best number one Vanderpump podcast.
Many are saying.
First question on the Pumpies was, who was your favorite main cast member this season?
Okay.
The winner was Stassi Schroeder.
Whoa!
Which I understand. When I look back at it, like season 1 is really Stassi's season.
Mm-hmm.
And season 2 I would give to Kristen, Jax, or even you could make an argument for Tom Sandoval.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with that.
The Pumpers are standing by Stassi.
Okay.
And I have to respect that.
I respect that, and I respect your choice.
We were not aligned with the Pumpers.
That's okay.
We can have our disagreements.
It's not our job. You guys don't always have to agree with us.
No. Just understand at the end of the day that we're always right.
Yeah.
Okay. Least favorite cast member this season.
Mm-hmm.
The Pumpers voted. It was a pretty close vote though. The top three, we've coming in at 32%, 28%, and 27%.
Whoa.
So it was very close. But coming in at 32%, their least favorite main cast member of season 2 was Kristen.
Wow. Yeah, I get it.
Their second least favorite was Jax.
Yeah.
And their third least favorite was Tom. So I do think that the Pumpers took the opposite approach that we took. Because those were the three that we listed as being the favorites for this season.
Well, and this is the thing. This is the difference, is that when we think about what favorite and least favorite mean, I think we're interpreting it as like who's bringing the most entertainment, who's bringing the most juice.
Right.
Whereas other people can interpret it as who did you like the most.
Right. To me, it's like if you remove Kristen, Jax, or Tom from this season, you don't have a season.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're so important to it. Yep. I can't possibly vote them in the lowest tier.
Yeah.
Which brings us to our next category. Who was your favorite supporting cast member this season? Now, this one was also pretty evenly divided, but we did have one person come out on top as the clear favorite. That person is Peter Madrigal.
Yeah.
I gotta be honest, I didn't vote for Peter.
I did. Madrigal heads rise up.
I voted for Christina Kelly because she was Loki slaying this season.
Christina Kelly, I have like such an aversion to.
Really? Christina Kelly's just always at the scene of the crime, but like Christina Kelly, I think I feel envious of. Like to be sitting next to Stassi when Stassi slapped Kristen, but to have nothing personally to do with it. Like she got the front row seat to all the drama without having to like sacrifice herself for any of it.
Yeah.
Which I think is really beautiful.
That is gorgeous.
So I envy Christina Kelly in that way.
Mm-hmm.
For the supporting cast members, I did add a special column where people could write in some answers. So these were some memorable write-ins for supporting cast member.
Beautiful.
One person said, the jail that Jax was kept in, don't let him out, which I completely agree with.
Yep.
Someone else said, all the drinks Kristen Doty was stealing to keep the drama alive.
Mm-hmm.
The poor ladies Jax dragged to Stassi's pirate ship.
That is a good call.
And you know what? There was one person who was mentioned in here multiple times over that I should have added to the list, because I might have voted for this person if I had added them. And that person is Nikolai Schroeder. Nikolai Schroeder. Loki is the best supporting character of the season.
Yeah. He just like ate down. He got one shot. He got one take. And he
did it.
Crushed it.
He crushed it.
Yeah.
So who was your least favorite supporting cast member this season? I feel the answer is obvious.
For me, it was Tom Schwartz.
For me, it was also Tom Schwartz. And I have great news for the audience. It was also Tom Schwartz.
Good.
But somebody else wrote in here, who is your least favorite supporting cast member this season? Somebody wrote Matt. That guy. I was like, what did he do? That guy at the beach.
For Matt to not only be like, to have like some sort of impression on you, but for that impression to be so negative is so funny. For someone to be like, I fucking hate that guy.
I fucking hate Matt, all caps.
Matt.
There it is. Those are the results of the Pumpies season 2.
And thank you all so much for voting and participating.
Thank you so much. You won't be getting a sticker.
No.
But just know that you were in great company with the amount of people that DM'd us about the sticker.
Know that you are loved.
You are so loved. We have no idea how we would logistically figure that out.
No, or how to like get those to you.
That seems like a nightmare.
Yeah.
Also, that costs money.
We got other stuff to do. I don't know.
We don't have unlimited budget over here.
No, we're running it's a pretty
it's a pretty tight ship over here.
Pretty skeleton crew we got over this side of the Pumpcast.
We
universe.
Love your belief in us.
Yes, we do. We love that you guys believe that we can do anything.
Yes.
And we hope that one day that's true. Hopefully one day we are able to provide stickers to everybody who wants it and could possibly ask for it.
Totally.
As of right now, we're filming on a couch with a phone right. and a camera and like two blue screens.
Yeah, and there's currently a blanket taped to my window to block the sunlight from coming in.
Right. So there's only so much that we can kind of do, the two of us.
Do with that what you will.
Right.
But here we are. We've made it to season 3.
Wow. We're in it now.
And what better way to kick off season 3 than a message from our boy, your favorite employee, Mr. Peter Madrigal. Peter, take it away.
Hello, Maddie and Meg. Peter Madrigal here. I hope you're having a fantastic day, because this message is coming from, I guess, you two, Maddie and Meg, through me to you. So thank you, Maddie, and thank you, Meg, for making me part of your life. Now, I hear that you are part of the Pumpcast Rules podcast, and I think I may have commented on your content before.
I
think probably it was Instagram or something, and you need me to help you manifest a Peter Palooza episode of the show, featuring me, of course. And you know what? I think I can make that happen, Maddie and Meg. I really do think I can make that happen. Now, you're asking me what a Peter Palooza episode is to me. And you want me to let you know all love. And you know what, Maddie, Meg, thank you for being big fans. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving the show. I really appreciate that. I'm very honored and humbled to be part of Pump Vanderpump Rules history.
What the fuck is he talking about?
Peter Palooza episode of the Pumpcast Rules podcast. I wonder, what would that look like? Well, obviously, it would have to feature a lot of me. It would have to go for a long time. Yeah, I'd have to ramble as much as I wanted to, yeah, because it's basically, you know, what the show is going to be about. And then you'd have to ask me certain questions. It would be a very fun, interesting episode.
Very fun.
I don't know what kind of questions you'd want to ask me. Maybe my dating life. Maybe what's going on you know, in my personal life, maybe what's going on in my professional life. You know, I don't think that you're interested in my professional life. It's more of my personal life. Yeah. Maddie, Meg. Yeah.
Whoa,
Peter Palooza.
I know you're only interested in my personal life.
Would also feature
Maddie,
a lot of
Meg.
Wine, as I have one right here. I'm saving this for something big though. One of my big deals coming up. I'm saving that right here. Saving this particular. Oh, little history behind this.
Didn't ask.
This was given to me on my birthday back in 2015 by, was it 2015 or 2016? It was one season where I had short hair. And I've had this for 10 years. And it was given to me by Brittany. This was, I remember her giving it to me too. She's like, oh, Peter, I'm going to give you a present. I don't know how to do this Kentucky accent, but yeah. So, yeah, Brittany, right here. Still have this bottle of wine. I'm not going to crack it open yet, though. I'm saving that bottle
good.
Of wine.
Save it, Peter. Save it for us.
Yeah, so that would be an interesting episode. You know, it could feature a lot of me. It could feature a lot of what I'm doing right now in my own personal life and my business life. And, yeah, it'd be a lot of fun. So let me know, Maddie, Meg, let me know. Hit me up. DM me right here. Should be a lot of fun. But until we have that Peter Palooza, you know, we'll see you very soon. I'll continue commenting on your stuff. Bye for now.
Will we? Until we have that Peter Palooza. Well, you know, until we have that Peter Palooza, I will see you soon, I guess, when we have the Peter Palooza. Peter Palooza confirmed.
Peter Palooza confirmed. You heard it here first.
When is it happening? Who knows?
Who knows?
But we've manifested it.
We'll be asking Peter about his personal life, about his professional life, and about his dating life.
And that's it.
And that's all.
To be clear, we messaged him and we asked him, I think it was like verbatim, we were like, hey Peter, we're Maddie and Meg from the Pumpcast, big fans. We are trying to manifest a Peter Palooza episode of the show featuring mm-hmm. you. And we would love to know what a Peter Palooza looks like to you. What's your version of a Peter Palooza? And
his response to that was to turn on his phone, maybe for the first time in his life, and start talking forever.
That was 4 straight minutes. We definitely cut some of it out.
Is that the first cameo he ever made?
he was talking like he had no idea what to say.
Why do people who put themselves on Cameo, why is it that I always feel like it's as though they've never interacted with like a phone camera before in their life?
Never.
And then they watch it back and then they go, ah, that's good.
That's good. Send it off. Awesome. You know what, Peter? We'd love to have you.
We'd love to have you on, Peter.
We will sit here and listen. We'll talk about your dating life.
Yep.
We'll talk about your personal life.
Yep.
We'll talk a little bit about your professional life. But to be honest, Peter, I know that you do crypto. So I'm not totally interested in all that. With peace and love.
Peace and love, Peter. We probably aren't going to talk about your crypto career.
With peace and love. All love.
All love.
That was how we ended the message. We were like all love with a heart.
I think when we were typing it out, we were like, how do we end this? And then we were like, all love.
And of course he says that back to
us. Yeah. All love, Peter.
All love.
We'll see you very soon.
All love over here, all love over there. And you know, I guess we'll see when the Peter Palooza happens. And until then, well, you know, until that Peter Palooza, then I'll see you.
Very
later
soon
at the Palooza, of course.
Mm-hmm.
All love.
All love.
And with that, I think we're primed to start season 3.
Let's
fucking
do it.
Do it.
So Boof, we are at Jax's apartment and he is working out big style.
Yeah, getting shredded, of course.
He is getting absolutely shredded. And in a talking head, he's like, after last year, I thought everything was done. But everyone's really grown up. I realize I've made a lot of mistakes in my past. I said goodbye to the old Jackson. I'm a completely different person now.
I moved on. It's different.
I'm like the best I've ever been.
Totally. It's the highest point of my life. No one can stop me.
Put a pin in that because we'll come back to
that later. We'll come back to that later. Boof! To Kristen's apartment where she's like, you know, I've lost everything. I've lost all my friends. Tom evicted me. But for the last 5 months, I've been dating this super hot British 22-year-old named James.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a birthday since the reunion.
She does mention, though, in the same talking head, she goes, and I still love Tom, of course.
Right. No, Kristen, maybe keep that part to yourself, Sister Queen.
Locked in, mama.
So during this like flash to Kristen's apartment, and then we get a flash to a talking head, we see James and Kristen at Sir, and now we're fully at Sir.
Yep.
We see Tom and Ariana, they kiss at the bar.
In a very intimate way.
Just like openly in a relationship now at Sir, doing gross things with each other.
Yeah.
And Tom is like, I don't remember ever having a connection in a relationship the way I do with Ariana. Ariana says that she doesn't feel like Tom and her ever started dating. They just stopped not dating.
Which, like, isn't great PR for the whole, like, we're just friends story that she had literally a season ago.
Also, it literally seems like their relationship probably started, like, officially at the reunion. Mm-hmm. Because even when it was brought up at the reunion and Andy's like, what, so are you guys dating now? And Ariana looks at Tom and she's kind of like, like waiting for him to say something. Right. And then he basically takes control of the conversation. Is like, I mean, I guess like kinda. And then it just is like accepted that they are by the end of the reunion. I'm like, that must be what she means when she's like, we never really started dating.
Right.
We just did whatever that was.
Whatever the hell that was.
Okay.
Fine.
Weird.
Enter our girl, Sheen.
Yeah, classic Sheener.
Sheen walks in. She's talking to Peter about the specials. And then it cuts to one of the most iconic talking heads of all time.
Yes. Sheena has a new tattoo to reveal.
Mm-hmm.
It's all happening.
It's all happening from her favorite movie, Almost Famous.
Yes.
Which really encapsulates Sheena to a damn T.
It is.
Like, it is all happening to her all the time.
Yeah, it is.
And she is almost famous.
It's true.
And we were just...
we were feeling inspired.
I don't know. I don't know about you, but I was feeling, like, genuinely pretty inspired by that.
And we love Sheena.
And we love Sheena. And, like, we love this podcast.
And it's all happening for us.
Yeah. So we figured...
why not commemorate our love...
yeah.
...in a tattoo.
So...
it's all happening.
It's all happening, you guys.
Yeah. It's all freaking happening.
It's all happening.
We thought that, you know, Sheena's tattoo artist really nailed it. There was like nothing to change about this, really. It's kind
I just
of,
liked the calligraphy. I liked like the yeah. script of it.
I kind of like that it looks like something you might find on like a sign above someone's door.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of like the live, laugh, love of it all. What's that? The lady that does the jars?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's kind of like, it's awesome. It's like an aesthetic that everyone loves.
Yeah. And honestly, it didn't really hurt.
No, it was like, it only took like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Even.
Yeah.
And yeah, Meg did one and then I did one.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's all happening.
So.
It's all happening.
It's all happening.
And we love Sheener.
And we love you,
and
girl.
At the end of the day, that's why we got this.
And we got this, and they are permanent.
They are permanent. It's never coming off.
Nope.
So.
It's all happening, and
shut
it's all
your
permanent.
Mouth. Yeah. Shut your mouth about it. This is what happens when you're dedicated to the cause.
Yeah. You get a tattoo then, why don't you?
Sheena keeps talking. She's like, I have a great job, a great fiance. And once Stassi quit Sir, just like a huge weight was lifted off my shoulders. And suddenly I felt incredible, except the fact that Katie is still here. And I fucking hate Katie.
And it's so funny because then it immediately cuts to her inviting Katie to her birthday party.
She does it in such a backhanded way, though. She's like, okay, Katie, like, I'd love to invite you to my birthday party, but like, I don't think they have tequila there. So.
And Katie's like, oh.
Katie's like in her talking head, like, I'm kind of frustrated with this whole tequila Katie narrative. Mm-hmm. Like, I promise I'm not really a drunk. Things got a little crazy last season, but like, what are we going to do? I don't even want to go to Sheena's party because Kristen's going to be there.
Yeah.
And I don't want to hang out near Kristen. And also, I hate you, Sheena. So.
Oh, yeah. And what was that other thing? What was that other thing that I was going to say? Oh, yeah. Sheena fucking kill yourself?
You're right.
Okay.
And Katie expresses that she doesn't want to go because Kristen's going to be there. And Sheena's like, well, Ariana's fine with it. So why aren't you? Sheena, sister, you don't even want Katie there.
No. Yeah, why are you asking her to be there?
I feel like Sheena in like this season and I think next season as well, it's kind of like once Sheena starts to like have her footing at Sir,
mm-hmm.
she starts to take over some of the mean girl tendencies that it was like she starts doing the hazing.
Yeah.
The hazing that was done to her, she's now doing to others.
Yeah.
Which it happens.
It happens. Everyone has their faults except for us. So later at Sir, Lisa enters. Everyone is crushing their little jobs over in the restaurant, and Lisa walks up to Jax at the bar, and they have a really weird interaction.
Bizarre.
Jax is like, "Can I get a kiss on the cheek?" And Lisa's like, "No." And then Jax replies, "I get love."
Okay.
And then Lisa's like, "You can get me a drink. How about that?" And then Jax is like, please get rosé. Please, 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 please. Because he doesn't know how to make a fucking cocktail.
Yeah.
So he's like, please get rosé, please. And she's like, all right, fine. And Lisa in her talking head is talking about how Sir is doing amazing. It's never been better. Sales are up, 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 up. And she's having the time of her life. And for her next trick, she is going to open a lounge bar in the epicenter of the gay community in WeHo, called Pump.
So much of this episode, they start doing flashbacks to Lisa building Pump and doing this whatever the fuck. I cannot emphasize enough how little I give a shit.
Well, what's funny about watching all of this is knowing that Pump is in fact closed now.
Pump no longer exists.
No longer exists. I believe it shut down in like 2021, 2022. Yeah. And it's just hilarious because she's like, this is going to change lives. And it's like, you're opening a gay bar.
Yeah. Also, like, I'm committed to understanding the workings at Sex Unique Restaurant, and Lounge.
Mm-hmm.
I care about your cheating employees, not you girl bossing around West Hollywood.
Right.
Lisa.
I don't care about your performative allyship.
Put a sock in it.
Okay. Enough.
Take that shit back to the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I don't want to see this on Vanderpump.
I don't want to see it and I don't want to hear it. All right. So later at the bar, Jax and Tom are working together and everything is kind of seemingly fine.
Yeah.
It's like they're just kind of like talking. Jax is like pouring shots. Tom is making a cocktail for these girls. Jax is like, I'll take a shot with you. And Tom's like, I'm not going to take a shot. I'm working. And Jax is like, hasn't stopped me before. And they like have this little back and forth. Mm. And Tom in a talking head claims that even though Jax and him were initially separated for the first few months after the big fight at the end of season two, he came back over to Jax's bar because that bar makes way more money. And then he was like, yeah. And at first we didn't talk at all. And then as time went on, you know, we started making small talk and then we just kind of fell into our friendship again.
Then it cuts to a talking head of Jax where he's like, do I have remorse? Yes. It took a long time, but I did find it. It is in me. And he goes, but, you know, to be honest, looking back, I think I did him a favor. Fuck that. Fuck their stupid chunkus relationship.
He's so awesome. I love that he's like, after a full year and producers yelling at me about how I need to say that I'm sorry in order to not look like a sociopath. Okay, fine. I'm sorry. But...
But actually,
if you look at it,
I never did a bad thing because they were bad together and they needed to break up. So
if you look at it from a certain angle, I actually did big, big favor. So
yeah, I did a good thing and everybody's being really mean to me about it. But sometimes people just don't see the vision.
People don't get what I bring to the table.
They couldn't conceptualize back then the kind of moves and leaps and bounds and just, you know, high level ideas that were brewing within me at the time.
The thing about beta cucks is that they don't get that they're playing fucking checkers.
Exactly.
And I'm playing fucking alpha chess, dude.
So you can tell me all around the clock about this remorse stuff that you guys keep talking about, by the way, made up by the woke mob.
They're literally okay? after me and they're after you.
That's feminist shit if I've ever
That's
heard it.
That's some fucking okay? SJP fucking bullshit.
Get it out of here.
Holy SJW
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yes, I love Sex in the City. Yes, I am a Miranda. That's Jess.
What about it?
What about it?
Okay.
Stassi, I said what I said. Steve. Stassi is my Steve. I'm not on this SJP bullshit, all right?
It's like unironically a mistake that Jax would make, though. Like, instead of saying SJW, he would just switch SJP. One of the letters.
And he's like, no, that's what it is, right? That's what it is?
That's what it is SJP. Like, there's like a sometime way later in one of the seasons where Jax says, hashtag me too, in a reunion. Thinking that that's just like him agreeing and everyone's like, no, Jax. No, he's like, what does it mean? What is it?
Hashtag SJP.
Hashtag.
So in the back, in the kitchen, still at Sir, Kristen and Sheen link up.
Mm-hmm. And Kristen's like, you know, I have to tell you something, but we can't talk about it at work, but like, you're going to die. It's something to do with Tom. Possibly Ariana, and it's going to impact her.
She is like a kid on Christmas. She is like grinning from mm-hmm. ear to ear.
This is the first mention of Miami Girl.
Uh-huh.
Who's going to be a pillar this season.
Yes.
Welcome to the show, Miami Girl, who is a girl that allegedly hooked up with Tom in Miami and then went public with it on social media. Kristen obviously catches wind of this. It's like, oh, let me get in there. Okay, let me get a piece of that. Kristen's doing boots on the ground investigative journalism mm-hmm. to get to the bottom of this Miami Girl story.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to take a moment to, like, for all of us as a collective to imagine the Kristen Doty cold DMing you.
Unbelievable.
Oh, chills. Chills what I would give for her to cold DM me. Because that's what she does to this Miami girl.
Uh-huh.
And Sheena receives this information. And she's like, okay, so I'm just like not supposed to talk to Ariana about this?
Yeah, honestly, Kristen kind of fucks Sheena. She's like, Kristen is very intentionally going to Sheena with this information
mm-hmm.
because Kristen doesn't want to tell Ariana directly
yep.
because that's obviously just like a disaster in the making.
Yep.
So she's purposefully telling Sheena because she knows that Sheena will feel like she has to tell Ariana.
Yes. And Kristen's so, like, do whatever you want, girl. It's your life.
Yeah. I mean, like, I can't stop you. So mm-hmm. whatever.
Whatever.
When she very purposely did this.
Yes.
And Sheena's like, you know, Kristen gets a lot of shit, but she is really good at stalking ex-boyfriends on social media.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like even Sheena may be inclined to believe the information that Kristen has harvested.
Not to reveal too much, but Sheena's instinct here, people should have listened to it more.
Yeah, for sure.
More on that later.
More on that later.
So later that night, Katie is closing out and Lisa comes up to her and they start kind of chatting. You know, Lisa's like, how was the night? Blah, blah, blah. And Katie says, thanks again for hiring Schwartz at Pump.
Finally, he can pay bills because he's been, you know, the modeling gigs are slow and, you know, we want to eventually save up for a wedding. So got to get him work somewhere.
Just like cuts to a clip of Schwartz just like fucking chilling on the couch and like not doing anything. And like it's like we all kind of knew that Katie was fronting the bill of their relationship. But to see that so starkly on screen is like another thing altogether, because it's like Katie's a waitress.
Right.
It's not like she's making bank.
Right.
But all of these women financially support these bum ass men. And it is just really hard to watch.
Totally. I don't understand how that's not like a turnoff to people.
Yes. And this is the thing. It's like, I don't expect like, you know, me to date someone who becomes like the breadwinner for my life.
No.
But like, have some sort of ambition and drive.
Right. I'm not looking for a child.
Right. As they're chatting, Katie drops the fact that Stassi is moving back to town. Yeah. And in fact, she's already here.
Yeah. Katie's like, you know, we've kind of had a full house because Stassi's been staying with her as she kind of moves back over here because her boyfriend's job has transferred him to being based in LA instead of New York.
And Lisa, once again, voices her irritation, the same gripe that she had at the season 2 reunion, which is that Lisa was such a good friend to her and did everything she could to try to steer her in the right direction. And ultimately, she just up and left and did it in a really disrespectful way, according to Lisa.
And to that, I was like, friend? Question mark?
Right.
That's your daughter's friend and your employee.
Yes.
I feel like this is so inappropriate.
It's deeply inappropriate. And she's also wrong.
Yeah.
She was not a good friend to Stassi.
Right.
She spent 2 seasons
actively
gaslighting her and blaming her about Jax's behavior. And then she turns around and is like, I can't believe Stassi would freaking leave me and abandon me.
Right.
And it's like, well, Lisa, maybe that's because you're a 45-year-old woman. And Stassi is 25 and she's actually allowed to move to New York if she wants to.
Scolding Stassi for slapping Kristen, and then Tom punches Jax, and at the reunion, Lisa's going on about how you're such a good guy, Tom.
Right.
You have such a big heart. You care so much. Had enough. Literally had enough, Lisa. You're weird.
So Lisa tells Katie to tell Stassi to come by Pump and she can talk to her there. And Katie's like, all right, I'll let her know. Stassi then arrives to actually pick up Katie from work.
Mm-hmm. She's just like waiting in Sir Alley for her. She's not going to go in and see anybody. She's like in her fucking convertible out back.
Yes. And Stassi reiterates like kind of what Katie said, that, yeah, she like picked up her life and moved to New York because that's where her boyfriend was. She wanted to be with him. And then like 6 months later, he moved to LA and she was like, all right, I guess I'm moving to LA now.
Mm-hmm.
And she mentions, she's like, being here to Katie, she's like, being here is so weird. Like, it feels really weird being here. And Katie's like, all right, like, let's go before anybody sees you.
Let's get out of here. Yeah. And Katie does mention to her that Lisa wants her to go to Pump at some point during the week so they can talk.
Yep.
And Stassi is basically like, I mean, okay, I guess she's upset with how I left it, but I don't respect any of the reasons why she's mad at me.
Yeah.
I think they are boof.
Yeah.
Which is true.
They are boof. And we will boof as well. Over to Pump. It's 1 week till the opening. We get a Ken sighting.
Mm-hmm.
Ken sighting. Robert Earl, owner of Buca di Beppo, shows up.
Like, who freaking cares?
He's like, it's magical. They do a Pump tour. Okay.
Lisa's like, it's just like under construction.
Yeah.
Like, it's a whole bunch of nothing. And Lisa's like, so I've always said Villa Blanca is where you take your wife, Sir is where you take your mistress, and now Pump is where you bring your boyfriend.
Ally
in cheating, Lisa Vanderpump.
Yay.
I support you having 3 romantic and intimate partners so that you can come to all 3 of my restaurant establishments and spend your money.
Polyamorous queen.
My truth is that I'm always going to love a forbidden romance trope, and you guys know I love a spicy read, but what if the forbidden romance was also a cowboy romance? A hot, steamy, former pro bull rider with an employee that's slowly falling in love with him. If you're a fan of contemporary cowboy romances by authors like Bailey Hanna, Lila Sage, Elsie Silver, or Paisley Hope, you will absolutely love Taming of the Heart by Elliot Rose, which is a part of the Crimson Golden Ridge series. Each book in the series reads as a standalone, but they all take place in the same remote small town, and they're all, of course, very spicy. Taming of the Heart is super spicy. It has very explicit sexual imagery and language throughout, which obviously is exactly what I signed up for. And it basically just drops you right into what it would be like to be hired by a ranch for the summer, except your boss is unreasonably hot, literally looks like every fantasy and daydream you've ever had come to life. Oh, and he's already accidentally seen your favorite toy. Okay, you're the eldest daughter. You lock your heart away safely out of sight, but then boom, a former pro bull rider, much older than you, with a mustache, might I add, that makes you weak of the knees, shows up. He's the whole package. And he's luring you in with glimpses of what it might be like to let your guard down for the first time in your entire life. I know you guys are going to love it. I've been sucked in from the moment I picked it up. You can find Taming of the Heart by Elliot Rose wherever books are sold, in print and in ebook. And you can learn more by checking out Kensington Publishing at kensingtonbooks.com. The best summer pieces are always going to be the ones that you'll rewear over and over again. The ones that prioritize comfort, versatility, and are somehow right for every occasion, which is why I love Quince. They make elevated essentials using premium materials like European linen, organic cotton, and washable silk without the traditional retail markup. They're breezy, light, and perfect for the summer heat, with pieces starting at just $32. And it's not just apparel. Quince also carries beautiful 14-karat gold jewelry to add a subtle finishing touch to your look, or elevated essentials for your home as well, from bedding to bath to kitchen essentials and furniture. I actually just picked up some throw pillow covers from them, which is nice because it easily allows me to switch up some of the styles of pillows I already have in my home instead of buying a billion throw pillows that I just don't have the space for in my apartment. And not only are they gorgeous, but they're super soft to the touch. It's already made my home feel cozier, which I need right now as I'm sitting in front of the AC trying to remain zen and not overheat this summer. So make your summer wardrobe feel easier. Go to quince.com/emotionallyonline for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada as well. That's quince.com/emotionallyonline for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/emotionallyonline.
All right, so Boof,
James and Kristen are going out. They're hitting the town with Sheena and Shay. A little double date action.
Blunt rotation, activate.
And I can't even imagine this. James is 22. Let's do a little age recap, everybody.
Yep.
James is 22, dating Kristen, who is now 31. She is 9 years older than him.
Mm-hmm.
Hanging out with Sheena, who is 29, and Shay, who is 27.
Totally.
We are both 29.
Yep.
I can't imagine if my 31-year-old friend came to me and was like, okay, let's go. I'll go hang out with my 22-year-old boyfriend. I'd be like, sister, what's wrong with you? Developmentally, spiritually, something is off here.
Well, the fact that she sees it as like a flex instead of it being embarrassing,
so weird,
is so strange to me. But you know what? She's stealing men's jobs, and good for her. She's dating some like fuck-ass 22-year-old.
It's just crazy. It honestly is like so the reversal.
Yeah.
Because he's also like, James is like a fuck-ass wannabe DJ.
He is also so not hot. It's actually baffling to me.
He looks like, he's very like childlike.
Yes.
Which he is 22.
He looks like a boy.
He does look very young.
It would be one thing if he was like, I don't know, some like built
hunk.
Hunky dude.
No.
James Kennedy is not a hunky
dude. He's like giving 17-year-old for real.
It's like his like facial features are still a little disproportionate just because he's just young,
mm-hmm,
in the way that you just like grow into your facial features. Right. Like he doesn't have an adult face.
No.
Or body, frankly.
No. Strange. I find it very weird. I just think that like once you're over the age of 25, dating anyone under 25, I think is strange.
I'll tell you this much. I went on a date with a 26-year-old like a couple months ago. And you could feel it.
Yeah.
I could feel it. Like at one point he was like, oh my God, college was like 4 years ago. I'm so old.
And I was like, oh, you're like referencing yourself in terms of when you were in college.
When you were in college, yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah, I also just like don't expect a 22-year-old boy to fuck good. Sorry.
No.
I don't. I don't. I'm sorry.
I also like don't care to find out.
No. That's none of my business.
Go be 22 with other 22-year-olds.
Go be 22. That's not my pool. That's not my genre.
No. Mm-mm. But like, I won't judge people once they're over the age of 25. But anytime someone over the age of 25 dates someone younger, I'm like, meh.
Yeah.
That's a little weird.
I'm like, okay.
Okay. But once it's over, I'm like, okay, whatever.
Right.
That's none of my business.
Well, Kristen loves it. And they are discussing Sheena's birthday. Sheena says she wants to be on top of the bar by the end of the night. And they're like, yeah, girl, you totally will be. They're kind of talking about work. It's very normal. And then, of course, Sheena drops the Tom Miami girl bomb. And that Kristen brought this up at work. And Kristen immediately is like, I have the texts right here.
And this is like how she gets into the recap of it all. So she starts off by saying that Kristen saw some girl on social media talking about sleeping with Tom Sandoval and reached out to her. And Kristen texted her and said, I really appreciate you talking to me. I have to ask, you slept with him, right? Miami girl says, yes, I did. And I have his number and texts to prove it. Sheena is immediately kind of suspicious of Kristen off rip because she's like, why are you so hung up on Tom when you're in this brand new relationship with James? But here's the thing is that Kristen and James are kind of soulmates in this regard because James also loves drama and revenge. And it's almost like Kristen has hired him to be her little sidekick for this adventure.
James is kind of like getting off on this drama and on this story of Tom cheating because he jumps in and goes, Tom gets horny, wants to fuck her. She tells him, I'm on my period, we can't fuck. He tells her, I want you to go into the bathroom. I want you to prove to me that you're on your fucking period. So she did. And he said, fuck it, I still want to fuck you.
Which, by the way, if that's true, that is diabolical.
That is not technically assault. It feels like it has the air of it
to like say no to someone and then be like, okay, prove your reasoning.
Prove you're on your period.
Because you just like saying that you don't want to isn't enough. You have to like have a good reason and then you also have to prove that reason. That's really weird. That's really fucking weird.
It's really strange. And what I will say, watching season three the first time around, the producers of this show are brilliant. The editors of this show are brilliant. Because everything that is established in season two is that Kristen fucking hates Ariana and she will do whatever it takes to take that relationship down.
Yeah.
And then season three starts and there's this like magical thing for Kristen of, oh, there's this Miami girl who could blow everything up. So it's hard to believe that this is the truth when all that Kristen was trying to do in season two was like separate Tom and Ariana.
Yeah.
That now that she stumbled into this reason, it's like, okay, this does feel like a really convenient story for specifically you, Kristen.
Right.
And specifically you to like get out of somebody, you know? But Sheena's kind of buying it.
Yeah. As the story goes on, Sheena's like hearing the breakdown of it all and she can see it being true.
Yep.
James also says that allegedly Tom had told Miami girl that he and Ariana broke up 3 weeks before the Miami trip and that Ariana is just kind of burying her head in the sand about it.
Yep.
Sheena starts crying when hearing all of this. And Kristen in her confessional is like, typical Sheena making it about herself. Kristen, I'll kill you with a gun.
I cackled when she said this line. She goes, why is Sheena crying? typical Kristen or typical Sheena making it all about herself. I'm like, Kristen, I love how delusional you are because you are so blatantly making this all about right. yourself.
Also, I'm like, Kristen, you can't fathom caring about your friends so much that hearing about their boyfriend potentially betraying them would make you upset.
Right.
Checks out. Right. You don't give a fuck about your friends. That's why you fucked Jax.
Yeah. And Kristen claims that she wouldn't care at all if Tom had done this to any other girl in any other relationship, but specifically it's because he's dating Ariana that she feels nosy. And she's like, karma's a bitch. They were fucking around behind my back for ages, so getting right. back at them. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, she just wants to be evil because she's yeah. mad that Tom and Ariana happened behind yeah. her back.
And Sheena's like still very upset about this. And she's like, okay, great. Well, like now I have to be the one to tell Ariana this because yeah. she's my best friend. Like, thanks, Kristen. Awesome.
I majorly empathize with Sheena here.
Me too.
This is a really bad position to be put in.
Yes. And like, this is also what I will say is that like, Sheena probably could have just chosen between Kristen or Ariana before totally. Any of this happened, so she wouldn't have had to deal with all of this.
Yeah.
But like, she is actively choosing to kind of put herself in between Kristen and Ariana by being friends with both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a little, that's like Sheena's hubris.
Yeah. It is hard though, because like, I think if she had to choose, I think she would choose Ariana.
Yeah.
But Ariana is dead set on being like, you don't have to choose. It's right. fine to be friends with both of us.
Right.
Not that it would have changed anything, because I think Sheena would have independently made that decision yeah. to remain friends with both people.
Yeah.
Regardless. But.
So, Boof, Jax and Tom Schwartz are going to the doctor because Jax has a, quote, deviated septum.
Yeah. This is his first nose job because he has a fucking coke problem and he's going to get a billion of them.
Yeah. This is one of many.
This is the first, you know, of a long line of nose jobs, a very deep relationship he has with these plastic surgeons.
And having body dysmorphia and also a coke problem.
Yeah. That he doesn't plan on fixing after the nose job.
No. Because that's just what another nose job is for.
Right.
The important thing about this scene is that Tom and Jax are talking about Sheena's birthday and that Jax will be bringing a woman that he is dating named Carmen. And he's a little stressed about it because he is also currently dating another woman named Tiffany.
Mm-hmm.
And Jax in a talking head is like, my personal life, it's a bit up and down. And it's like, that's so interesting because at the beginning of this episode, you said that your life is the best it's ever been.
Right.
So what is the truth?
So what's all this then? And then he says that both Carmen and Tiffany know about each other.
Mm-hmm.
They're both aware that he's dating the other woman as well.
Yep.
And now Jax is basically in this position where he's just hanging out with both of them, trying to decide which one he likes better.
It's funny to me because they're acting like casual dating isn't a thing.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, and I'm dating multiple people at the same time.
And I have to choose quickly.
It's like, right. That's what casual dating is. What yeah. you're experiencing is just not cheating for the first time.
Right.
But like now you're experiencing like what the process of casually dating somebody is.
Oh, God.
They have the consultation with the doctor. Dr. Lake at one point says, this was just funny to me that at the end of this interaction, you know, they're talking about how Schwartz is going to have to come pick Jax up and like take care of Jax and whatever. And Dr. Lake says to Schwartz that he's going to have to be Nurse Ratched, who is famously like the evil nurse from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah.
I don't think either of them know what that reference is.
Definitely
because
not.
Upon hearing that, Jax turns to Schwartz and goes, yeah, you're going to be my bitch. And it's yeah. like, that's not who Nurse Ratched right. was in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, but press on, brother.
You know what? Godspeed to you.
Love ya. Love you down.
All right, so Boof, we're at Katie and Tom's apartment where Stassi is getting ready to go talk Talisa.
Mm-hmm.
And she's talking about how she spent the last 6 months in New York. She's relearning what it's like to be happy. And honestly, Stassi deserved to run away after everything they did to her.
Yeah, I would have done the same damn thing.
So Stassi shows up to Pump to see Lisa. And she's like, whoa, hey.
Hey, girl.
Hey, queen. Hey, oh, girl. My God. Look at Paul. This is crazy. Hi.
Hey.
Hey. And Lisa's like, okay, let's talk. In the corner now.
Get to your room.
So Lisa starts off by saying that she was upset with Stassi because she disappeared. And Stassi was like, I know, girl. I fell off the face of the earth. And Lisa goes on, does her whole fucking spiel about how I was on your side. I was your friend. You just left me high and dry. And Stassi's basically like, ah, so crazy, girl. I'm so sorry. Like, all love. All love, queen. So sorry about that. And all Lisa's love. Like, eh, good enough. And that's it.
Yeah, and Stassi in a talking head is just like, listen, when Lisa tells me I've done something wrong, like, there's no winning with her. I just apologize.
Yeah.
That's the only way that these types of conversations can end. So, like, whatever.
Whatever. And Lisa's just, like, dead set on getting to the bottom of, like, how the friend group and Stassi's relationships have evolved since the major fallout that happened in season two. And Lisa's like, okay, so like, what about all of your girlfriends? Like, what happened mm-hmm. there? And Stassi's like, listen, there's people that I just don't want to associate with anymore. A lot of these people I just don't give a fuck about. Katie will give me updates on these people. Like, I don't need to be close with them at all anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They're not growing and changing. Like, these people just aren't evolving. I don't need to be around people that aren't like changing at the same pace that I am or mm-hmm. whatever. And Lisa's like, well, you know, Sheena's doing really well. She's growing and she's carving something out for herself. And Stassi's like, okay, I don't really give a fuck about all that.
Yeah.
Stassi, but Lisa's like, okay, but be specific about who you're talking about. And Stassi's like, no, girl, I'm talking about everybody, Sheena included. Like, yeah. I don't give a fuck about any of these people. I don't want to know and be in friendship and community with any of them.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa says, how has Katie grown? Like, Katie's the only person you're cool with. How has Katie grown? I think that you're just talking about Kristen here. Kristen's the real problem. And that I understand because Kristen is an absolute fucking bozo.
Mm-hmm.
And it cuts to a talking head where Stassi's like, you know, I used to think Kristen was edgy because she makes all these self-destructive choices, but I was 19 then and I'm older now and I just find her really sad and pathetic. And when Stassi says this in the talking head, I was like, you know, I do feel like she's at that perfect age where you realize that there are people that act like that.
Yeah.
I remember having that same thought like around like 22, 23, 24,
mm-hmm.
where I looked around and I was like, damn, I used to think these people were cool when I was just a little bit younger. But yeah. Now I realize that you just actively make choices to make your own life harder
yeah.
perpetually. And you seem to think it's cool to always have a story to tell, to do things for the plot. But it's just you constantly self-destructing.
Yeah.
And that's actually really not cool.
Yeah.
It's actually very sad and hard to watch.
Yeah.
So I agree.
No, literally. And not to bring up Sex and the City again, SJPs, SJP heads, where you at? But there's this line in Sex and the City, I think, where Samantha is kind of like telling Carrie off about some fuck ass bullshit she pulled. And she's like, listen, if you were 25, it'd be cute, but you're 32.
Right.
And it's like, that's kind of Kristen's whole ethos.
Yeah.
Is like, yeah, you're not 25 anymore. You're right. Not in your early 20s. Like, you're a full adult person,
right?
Actively making life harder. Whoa, I just spit a lot. Actively making life harder for yourself.
Yeah.
And like, that is embarrassing right. after a while.
You can't keep getting away with this.
No. And Lisa's like, all right, enough about that. What are you doing for money? And Stassi's like, well, I have a blog. And Lisa's like, all right, that's bullshit. You need a job.
That's not working. She's like, okay, so your parents are paying the bills? Like, what? That's yeah. no money. And Stassi's like, well, not money yet, yeah. but like, hopefully, fingers crossed.
Yeah. And you know what? If that isn't us with this damn podcast.
You know what? Period, queen.
You know what? Not Bad money yet, but fingers crossed.
We're going to get there.
We're going to get there one day.
And then we'll send out pumpy stickers.
Yeah. And then you get all the freaking stickers you want. All right.
All right, so poof. We're at Sheena's apartment mm-hmm. where she and Ariana are hanging out.
And Ariana has a fuck ass braid, dude.
I'm nervous. The braids make me nervous.
The braids make me really nervous.
It's like foreshadowing.
Right.
She has to block off her forehead to protect her mind.
Her third eye.
Yeah, exactly.
She is closing. Her third eye is closed to the truth around her.
And Sheena starts to tell Ariana about what Kristen told her and shows her the messages between Kristen and Miami Girl.
Mm-hmm.
And this is such a hard conversation. Oh, what?
It's really...
Oh, Ariana, why? 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 That's a James Kennedy reference.
We're entering basically like that zone with Ariana for the next 7 seasons.
Jesus Christ.
Because, oh God, girl, we love you. But, oh, it's hard to watch these earlier seasons.
It's hard, mama.
Man.
Jeebs.
It really does hurt my heart because Ariana is immediately like, this is all bullshit.
Yeah.
She's like, what Tom and I have is really real. We are like disgustingly honest with each other. He told me exactly what happened on this trip and that he and Jax and Schwartz like went to Miami and they invited a bunch of girls. And this one girl just went on the internet and started blabbing and it's not true. None of it is true. And she is so convinced that it is not true.
And here's the thing. Even if it wasn't true,
mm-hmm.
it would still be fucking weird
yeah.
if your boyfriend went to Miami and convinced you and convinced himself that he had to invite strange women to the club with him.
Yeah.
Like, it's so clear that Tom Sandoval has talked his way into making Ariana believe that, oh, it would be like so weird if we rolled up to the club without chicks. Mm-hmm. Like, we had to find chicks to go with.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
I get that club culture in Miami is fucking weird. If you're in a relationship, mind your business.
Yeah.
It's not appropriate.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck.
It's also, I think, we're seeing kind of the dregs of Ariana, like, starting to kind of leave her, like, need to be a cool girl era.
Yeah.
This is still like a remnant of that, I think, where it's like, well, yeah, of course I'm fine with him like inviting chicks. Like, that's fine.
Right.
Where it's like, it's actually okay to not want that.
Also, like, your boyfriend is a known cheater.
Yes.
He's a known, documented, serial cheater.
Yep.
Like,
but Ari just believes that she's different and she believes that their love is different.
And this is the downfall of every single other woman that's ever existed. Yes, ever.
Yes.
You are not different.
You're not different.
You're not different. He will do it to you too.
And it might take a few months and it might take a few years, but he will do it to you too.
God, it's horrible.
Ooh, and Sheena is like, okay, girl, like I just want to make sure that he's telling the truth. Because you know that, like, he's such a good liar. Like, you know that. We've seen him lie. And Ariana's like, oh, I know. And I know when he's lying. You don't.
Right? You can't believe that you are, like, somehow
different.
You're like, I get him. I see through him. Like, I'm the things that happen to Kristen would never happen to me. Like, you, it will.
It will. And Sheena,
and it already has.
Yeah. And Sheena in a talking head sums it up perfectly, where she's just like, I'm worried that Ariana is so infatuated and in love with Tom that she won't even see the truth when it's literally in writing in front of her face.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah. Here's what I will say also in defense of Ariana in her kind of like very strong stance that she has, which is kind of what I was talking about earlier, which is that everything from last season established that Kristen will do whatever it takes
yeah.
to take Ariana down. And if I was Ariana, I probably would have the same conviction too that Kristen is doing this to just like get back at me because she doesn't like me. And Ariana is saying to Sheena, like, what level of obsession does Kristen have that she'll seek this out? Like, why is she so obsessed with like taking me down? And I get that. Like, mm-hmm. I genuinely get that in this moment, it's like we were saying before, like, wow, Kristen, what a convenient thing for you to stumble upon in order to like make me and Tom unhappy.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's easy, I think, for us in retrospect, having seen the rest of the show, to be like, oh, fuck, Ariana, like,
yeah,
run, girl.
It's just so hard because his cheating is so public before this moment.
Yes.
That it's like, two things can be true at once.
Yeah.
Kristen is insane,
mm-hmm.
and is on, like, you know, she is
a
gunning.
Revenge spree. Yes.
She is trying to ruin Ariana and Tom's relationship,
mm-hmm.
openly. She admits to that.
Yeah.
That is true. Kristen is insane. And Tom is a well-documented serial cheater.
Yep.
And Kristen, although she's taking advantage of Miami Girl, Kristen didn't summon Miami Girl into existence.
No.
This is a woman that separately went public with this information, and yeah. Kristen has just continued to follow up with her and like harvest more information about it.
Yeah.
So it's like, I get it. And also I'm like, why are we just going to forget about all of Tom's cheating?
I think part of why Ariana too kind of has this overarching like I'm different than these other girls is because Tom and her were friends for so long before they started dating that she's like, well, I mean, this isn't like a kind way of looking at it, but like I think probably there was some part of her that was like, well, I'm not like these women that he fucks,
right?
I'm his friend that he loves.
Yeah.
And that's why it's different.
Right.
Without really considering the fact that Tom is such a misogynistic asshole that he doesn't view any women as people, period.
Mm.
And frankly, doesn't give a fuck about anyone's emotions at all. And I think also the minute that Ariana became accessible to him in like a romantic and sexual way, any of the kind of like respect that he had for her as like his friend that's like a girl but she's a dude went out the window.
Yeah.
Completely.
For sure.
Hard to watch.
So this scene ends with Sheena saying that she has a gut feeling that something did happen that crossed the line. She doesn't know yet. She's not going to like really super push if Ariana's saying that she believes Tom, but she does have a gut feeling about it and she's not going to just completely let it go.
Yep.
More on this later.
More on this later. So boof. We're at Pump for like a second. Lisa doesn't want crabs on the menu. Can we move on?
This is insane. They're having like a very sexualized conversation about food though. I wrote down, Lisa's like, do you like a pork sausage, Penny? And then she talks about red cabbage being sexy. And then she goes, and how is he going to come on a brioche? And then she moans.
I think I just missed all of that. I think I literally saw Lisa like at Pump and I was like, whatever, filler scene.
You know, she's talking.
Didn't listen to it at all.
She's just talking to Chef Penny about food, but it's all like very sexual.
Okay, because literally all I heard was like her at the end being like, don't put my name and crabs in the same sentence. And then I was like, all right, whatever the fuck that was. Lisa is so strange.
And how's he going to come on a brioche? Oh.
Okay, Lisa.
Fucking awesome.
Boom.
We're at Mixology.
Noted, I just want to note here that the guy who was at Pump earlier who owns Buca di Beppo also owns Mixology.
So really?
This is just kind of like an advertisement for that guy's shtick, I guess.
And this
too.
Is also where the infamous Jax taking 7 shots was at.
Yes.
Season 1, question mark?
Yeah.
Whatever that was. Kristen and James are showing up to Sheena's birthday party. And Kristen is like, God, it just feels so good to show up somewhere with James on my arm.
I'm literally just imagining like a little baby in a big suit And she's like, get a load of this smoke show. And he's like, bah.
They get him the like Fisher Price DJ set. He's like, burr, 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 burr,
burr, burr, burr, burr. He's like, whoa, this baby's pretty good.
Dude, he kind of rocks.
Well, this baby can kind of rip.
Let's get him a laptop.
And James the baby does say that he first moved to LA to be a DJ, and he feels like he's already kind of ahead of the game because he's been touring with some of the biggest names in DJ world already.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what are we going to do about that, America? And he starts setting up his DJ laptop, which I had to look this up because I didn't realize this, but James's laptop said Shay F. Kennedy on it. And I was like, Shay F. Kennedy? I was like for a second, Shay? Like, did James have a DJ name where he also went by Shay for a period of time? No, Shay and James were collaborating for a brief period of time. And their duo name was Shay F. Kennedy.
Honestly, kind of a sick duo name. You know what? I'll give you guys that.
So really, Tom Sandoval should be pissed at Shay.
Yeah.
Because Shay seems to have taken his gig.
It's hard to be pissed at Shay when he's kind of just like a thumb that became a person.
Completely.
You know?
He's just there.
And speaking of who's there, Schwartz. He rolls up and he's like, last year, Stassi and Katie were at Sheena's birthday party and they were not nice to the birthday girl. Which is like, okay, true. But also, Schwartz, shut the fuck up. And he goes on to be like, this year, Katie and the girls are going out for drinks, and she hit me with the old passive-aggressive, you do what you want. And when your girlfriend tells you do what you want, it really means fuck you for not doing what I want.
And this is how we know that Schwartz has learned absolutely nothing from how he behaved in season 2.
Yep.
He has not at any point come to a resolution with his girlfriend about how it is that he is expected to behave when they have a disagreement about somebody else or with someone else. And Schwartz is choosing yet again to hang out with people that Katie is uncomfortable around or has beef with.
Even the way he says it, like he could have still gone to Sheena's birthday party and just been like, yeah, Katie's not coming. And like, I understand why.
Right.
I'm here. I'm going to meet up with them after.
But instead, he's like the biggest douche in the world.
He's like, instead of my bitch girlfriend's being a total bitch who I fucking hate.
I can't stand.
And it's like Katie just sitting in her apartment being like, once again, my stupid chungus boyfriend is choosing Sheena over me.
Right.
For what? Literally for what?
It's really just fucking stupid.
It's so stupid.
Because it's like, again, just like we said last season, multiple things can be true at once. Like
yes.
Katie is not entirely in the right with her beef with Sheena.
Mm-hmm.
Tom is allowed to disagree with her. I disagree with her.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, that is your girlfriend, and you need to like come to some sort of middle ground with each other of like, yeah, how can Tom support you as his girlfriend while also maintaining a friendship with Sheena if that's what he is choosing to do?
Like, you can disagree and still be respectful.
Yeah, it's actually like really fucking easy.
Okay, so the birthday girl arrives with Shay on her arm. Jax rolls up with Carmen, and Schwartz like tries to prank Jax into doing 7 shots again, but actually they're just shots of water. He's like, just kidding, dude, you're a freaking legend, love ya. And Ariana and Tom also show up. I want to take a moment to acknowledge that Tom is wearing not only a beanie, but also the slouchiest cardigan I've ever seen in my life.
His style outfits, icon.
His outfits, style icon, Tom Sandoval, you are psychotic. And Ariana in a talking head is once again like, listen, about the whole Miami thing, I trust Tom. Kristen famously hates me. She thinks she has power to get under my skin here, but she doesn't. And Kristen is kind of like watching Tom and Ariana like get drinks from afar. And she's like scoffing at the two of them and says to someone, I don't know who, but is like, well, you know, she didn't believe any of that shit. So she's dumb. I love
classic
her.
Kristen.
She backs herself so hard. And like, I have to respect her for that. And, it cuts over to Schwartz and Jax and Carmen. And Schwartz is like, hey, guys, like, how are you doing? How was your day? What'd you get up to? And Carmen's like, it was good. I had 2 finals.
Jax again, always going for a woman still in school.
Imagine, like, once again, we're 29. Your friend brings someone in who you don't know their age yet. And you're like, so what'd you get up to today? And they're like, oh, it was good. I had two finals. You're like,
sorry, what?
Oh, are you getting your master's?
The fact that it's a pattern, like if my 35-year-old friend was perpetually dating 22-year-olds, I'd be like, I think we have to like put you somewhere.
Yeah, I think maybe you're a pedophile.
I think there's something wrong.
I think something's wrong with you. And Jax is kind of talking about his relationship with Carmen, how they met, whatever. They met through like mutual friends. Carmen is friends with all these guys. And he's like, it's great. It's like dating Stassi part two, except she's not a crazy bitch.
Right. He's exhausting. He really is. Meanwhile,
yep.
Sheena is like, I got to just pull Tom at the top of this party, get this over with so that I can enjoy my birthday.
Yep.
And so she pulls Tom over and she's like, okay, so Ariana obviously told you what I told her earlier today. And Tom is like, yeah, okay. Like, I did hang out with Miami girl, but it wasn't like that. There was a group of us. I called up these girls, had them meet up with us to go to the club. Then I ended up leaving and Schwartz took a picture of me, passed out in my clothes, and that was it. I 100% did not sleep with this girl in Miami. He goes on and on about how he loves Ariana and he would never do that to her. Again, I think that we are glossing over too quickly that the boys have, they're like using Miami club culture to justify hanging out with random women in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And being like, oh, it was just for the clubs. It was just like, you know, we can't get into the clubs if we don't have women with us. Mm-hmm. Like, we had to go to the clubs with women.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. We just like walked in and that was all. And then I went home and I passed out and Schwartz took a photo of me. Like, I think that they are really using that as a crutch. And I think that the women, Ariana specifically in this context, should feel more entitled to being like, actually, no.
Yeah.
That's not okay. I don't give a fuck. You and your boys go to Miami and you want to go out to the bars, clubs, whatever, and you can't get in. Find somewhere else to go. Like, right. I don't know what to tell you. If the only way you can get into this bar is by bringing random women in on your arm, you can go fuck yourself if you think you're going to do that while dating me.
Yeah.
I think that's fine.
Also, like, who are these women?
Right.
Where did they come
from?
This
is just, it's lame as fuck. It's this, like, story that you're telling to try to justify what it is that you've done. But I just think that if you were a loyal person in a relationship, mm-hmm. you wouldn't be interested in going to the club that the only way you can get into is if you have a woman draped on your arm. Yeah. And it's just fucking weird vibes when you're in there. I think it's weird.
It's like, bring Ariana then.
Right.
On the trip. If you need women.
Completely.
Bring Ariana. I don't get it.
Or go to some place that doesn't require you.
Right.
To have a woman with you.
Yeah. Go to some bar.
It's just like skeezy and weird.
It is really weird.
I honestly like, I hate Miami for 100 reasons. This is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to anyone who loves Miami. I fucking hate Miami.
Yeah.
But I just don't understand the appeal of any of that. Like, these clubs that require, like, it's just, it's so predatory and weird. I've been inside clubs before that like they make you. I remember in college going to a club with all my friends where we were forced to sit in this one section at the front of the club so that all the men could look at us. We were required to sit there for 3 hours before we were allowed to go on the dance floor.
What?
Yeah. And it was because we were underage that they, this was like the deal with the club, that they would let us in without IDs if we would like sit and look pretty in these booths for 3 hours before going down to the dance floor. This is the vibe of these places and I just can't. It's the worst places on earth.
That's horrifying.
With the weirdest, most creepy people ever.
That's so horrifying. So Sheena is like, okay, so you didn't tell this girl that you and Ariana broke up 3 weeks before the trip. And Tom is like, absolutely not. Like, I tell Ariana everything. You don't understand the feelings that I have for her. And Sheena's like, okay. Like, if you're happy and Ariana's happy, then I'll leave it at that. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to get into the middle. And she's like, you know, a part of me feels like he's gotten away with something, but it's not my business anymore.
Right.
And Sheen's like, okay, I understand. Like, I care about both of you. I care about this relationship. And instead of Tom being like, okay, I understand. And like, I appreciate you actually like checking in on this and being a good friend to Ariana. Instead, he goes, can we actually take a step back for a second? Because you claim to be best friends with Ariana, but at the same time, you're choosing to be best friends with Kristen, and Kristen is fucking trolling Instagram just to ruin our happiness and be like a vindictive bitch. And that's fucked up. And you choose to be friends with James, who you know is a fucking piece of shit. And he starts attacking Sheena for like no reason.
And it's like so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And like also the other thing is like, let's not act. Okay. Kristen is insane. We all know this.
Yeah.
She doesn't handle things well at right. all. Ever. But Ariana and Tom did wrong Kristen.
Right.
Her anger is not coming from nowhere.
Right.
Like there was an inciting incident. She's also insane separately.
Yes.
But like Kristen has a very valid reason to not like Ariana on a personal level.
Yes. And Sheena is like, all right, she kind of starts tearing up and she's like, this is supposed to be the happiest summer of my life and I can't cry right now because these eyelashes are mink. Right. And Tom is like, oh my God, tell me about it.
It's all happening. I'm crying at my birthday party. It's all happening.
And Tom like mocks her and I'm just like, whatever, fuck you, Tom. Get fucked.
I can't deal with him.
Okay, so boof. Over to Andaz. Stassi, Christina, Kelly, Katie, and some other lady who I don't really know the name of are all getting drinks. And they're talking about how everyone at Sheena's party is weird. She's like, it's just weird. Like, how can Sheena be best friends with Ariana while also becoming best friends with Kristen? It doesn't make sense. She's like, if Katie had done that, I would have gutted her. And everyone's like, yeah, this is crazy. Katie then is like, speaking of crazy, can I show you guys this tweet that Kristen tweeted?
Unreal. Kristen on Twitter is such a beautiful thing.
She is one of our greatest philosophers. And she tweeted, describing myself in one word, loyal, with zero apologies.
She's incredible.
And they all have a good laugh about that.
The fact that like it's not even like a distant memory that she cheated on Tom with Jax. Like it literally is probably like within the calendar year that it happened.
Calendar year. She's like, loyal, no apologies.
That's what everyone, one thing you need to know about me. If you were to describe me in one word, the best word for it, loyal.
Right.
No, right.
Sure. So they're all kind of giggling about that. And Peter and the other guy show up, who's that lady's husband, I believe. I believe they're together.
Yeah.
And they sit down and Peter's like, listen, the reason I'm not at Sheena's birthday is because Sheena's friends with Kristen. And I don't really fuck with Kristen because she fucked everybody over last year.
And you know what? I respect that Peter has loyalties to Stassi.
Yes.
Like Peter always shows up in Stassi's defense.
Yes. Yes, he's kind of the only one. He's kind of like one of the only people who's like constantly in her corner.
He's like, that's my ex-girlfriend. Yeah. Hey,
don't talk to my ex-girlfriend like that.
And you know what? Godspeed.
Respect. Respect, Peter.
Complete respect.
And so they take a photo of all of them at dinner and then put it on Instagram. And what proceeds to happen is something that I can only describe as like, a capsule of this moment in time.
I like was transported back during this.
It's so awesome because Peter posts this photo on Instagram and over at Mixology, that entire group immediately sees the photo on Instagram and is like, oh my God. They're posting on Instagram. Well, we need to post on Instagram to show that we're having more fun than them.
And they start going back and forth, like both groups incessantly posting Instagram photos, making fun of the other group and like trying to flex that they're having more fun than the other group is. And
it's so awesome.
Like I miss when Instagram was a website where it was normal to post like 4 or 5 times a day.
Yeah, I agree.
My sister and I were talking about this because we used to go on vacation and it was always our goal to take like at least 3 Instagram posts per day when we were on vacation.
Yeah.
My sister and I tried to do that in February when we went on family vacation this year and it was actually fucking hard. But it was because back then the bar for what you could post was so much lower that it like you
and
could
those
post
photos
anything.
Are so bad. Like they're showing us the photos that they're taking on the show and it's like they're awful. They're poorly lit. Everything's grainy. It looks insane.
They all look bad in the photos, yes. But they look good on the show.
Right.
And it's like because the cameras they're working on are like so actually bad. Fucking boulders.
And Stassi at one point in a talking head is like #OMG InstaFight. It's like, yes, I miss this time.
Oh God.
I miss this. Also, Tom Sandoval is addicted to making duck faces and it's like just embrace femininity. What would happen if you actually respected women?
So true.
So James Kennedy interrupts to play his epic track and he starts playing his track. It cuts the Insta fight off and it's showing everyone kind of like listening to his music. Kristen is like awkwardly dancing to the side. She's like, yeah, that's my man.
And Tom Sandoval's like, God damn it. I fucking hate this fucking loser. This drunk loser. He's just a broke busser who actually he's been pretending to be broke this whole time. So I've been paying for him and shit whenever we would go out. But I've now learned that he's actually just been hoarding his money because I've seen him buy a Beamer. And now all he posts on Instagram are all these fucking Beamer selfies. And I'm pissed about it.
Two losers having a loser off.
He's just like raging out in the audience.
It's so funny. Tom is like getting himself so heated. And over in another part of the bar, Jack's in like a rare moment of clarity where it's like a broken clock is right twice a day type shit, is talking to Schwartz about Miami. And he's like, Chris needs to stop investigating shit. Like, what is she going to say? I told you so. You're not going to get back together with Tom and you're going to look like an idiot.
There it is.
And there it is. Like, that's kind of the truth. And Kristen ends up like walking over and starting to talk to Jax and Carmen, and Jax kind of confronts her and he's like, why'd you do that? Like, why do you care about this? And Kristen's like, Tom is a lying sack of shit. He lies and cheats. And Jax is like, girl, we've all lied and cheated.
And Carmen's like, wait, all of us? Wait, hold on a second. Wait, what? Like recently?
Yeah. Carmen is having like a completely different thing happening just internally while Jax and Kristen are like fighting about something completely different where Carmen's like, oh my God, have I just like hitched my wagon to an evil, evil man? And Kristen's like, stop defending Tom. And Jax is like, I'm not defending anybody. Like, I'm just saying that we've all lied and cheated, you included. So why are you acting like this is like something crazy? Like, it's something that we've all done, which isn't a great argument, but it is true. And Kristen's like, you know what, Jax? You and Tom are a fucking joke. And Jax goes, you and James are a fucking joke. Come on. You're in love with him.
You know what? He slayed.
He ate that.
Because honest to God, like, really the only reason Kristen is with James has to be to get back at Tom.
It completely is.
There's no, like, legitimate reason why Kristen would ever date James.
Yes. Yes. And Jax is like, Kristen is so obsessed with Tom, it's ridiculous. He's going to have to get a restraining order. She makes herself look really sad. And it's like, whoa. I can't believe I'm agreeing with Jax Taylor right now.
Sometimes he has his moments.
Sometimes he eats. And Carmen is still kind of having her psychotic break. And she's just like looking at Jax, like still trying to figure out if he's cheated on her recently. And Jax looks at Carmen like none the wiser. And he's like, Chris is crazy.
Oh, God.
So cut over to James and Sheena, who are still talking about Miami. And James is like, okay, well, you know what? Tom says that none of it happened, but Tom's a fucking liar and the truth will come out someday.
Well, that's true.
That's it. He's not wrong.
But Sheena's basically like, it's not about what I think. And at some point I just have to like, what can I do?
Yeah.
I've talked to him. I've talked to her.
Yeah.
They're agreeing on the story that he's telling. So what else can I do?
And Tom and Ariana are over in another part of the bar. They're like talking, kissing, all happy, whatever. And Tom is like, okay, I'm going to go grab Kristen. We'll talk about this. We'll put it out all on the table and we'll get over it. And Ariana's like, okay. And Tom goes up to Kristen, who's like a dog that's avoiding its owner when its owner catches it doing something bad. She's like looking anywhere but him. She can
smell him over her shoulder, though. Like, he is close
as
hell.
He's so close. And he's like, Kristen, do you want to go? And she cuts him off and she's like, I don't. Whatever it is, I don't.
And James immediately chimes in like, what? Talk about what, Tom? What's he want to talk to you about?
What's all this then?
And Kristen's like, oh, do you want to talk about Anne Marie? And Tom's like, I want to talk about my life, which you seem to be so interested in. James keeps trying to chime in, and Tom's like, Tom finally looks at James and he's like, go fucking take a Beamer selfie, why don't you? And James goes, oh yeah, you go take a Honda Civic selfie. I was like, boof, boof, boof. It's like Tom thinks he's going to get James, and James is like, oh, yeah, yeah. You want to come at me for the Beamer selfies? You drive a fucking Honda Civic, my guy. Get to work on those Instapics.
And they get angrier and angrier with each other. And then James goes, don't get smart with me. You're a fucking 31-year-old. And whatever he's about to say gets cut off because Tom doesn't punch, but he does push James in the face.
Amazing.
And they immediately start fighting.
And the episode cuts just then. So you know that's exactly where we'll pick up next week.
Thank God.
But God, what a beautiful moment. Like, I love that James is basically just like, you're chopped, yep, unk, and you drive a Honda Civic. And Tom was like, whoa!
It literally is like what it feels like as a millennial person to talk to a Gen Z kid.
That's exactly what this is.
Because it's like, yeah, you're chopped unk, I'm mogging you right now, get fucked. And it's like, yeah, you got me there. You fucking got me there.
So good.
It's really fun to see the kind of dynamics between like an early 30s person and, yeah, an early 20s person, because it's the same no matter which generations.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'm just so glad that James Kennedy is here.
Finally.
We've been saying for so long that we're just like, we were frothing,
yeah,
at the
foaming
mouth
at the mouth
for James Kennedy to join the cast.
Yep.
And now he's here and he'll be with us for the rest of time. And thank God. Thank God, because we need him. And that's it.
That's all for this episode. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We really appreciate it. We're so excited to start season 3 with you all. As always, you can follow us at Pumpcast Rules on both Instagram and TikTok. You can follow me at Meg Ruoco.
And you can follow me at Maddie Drosbeck. And you can find our merch at emotionallyonline.shop.
Mm-hmm.
Rep the show.
It's all happening.
Get your matching Chungus boyfriend and girlfriend hats
now
for you and your loved ones. A sea of Chungus boyfriend and girlfriend hats. That's the dream.
Just picture it now.
Yeah. I'm going there in my mind palace. I'm floating away. Okay. Drift off with us.
It's nice.
Ready? We're going. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Go to your mind palace.
Goodbye.
Go to the Chungus boyfriend land with the hats. Next week.